Well, I really threw together two or three or four different elements into songwriting, all of which I was interested in. And it became a hodgepodge of really reflecting my interest. I'd read the... I knew someone who was translating the Nostradamus prophecies and writing a book about them, and so I had access to the research on that, so it seemed like it would make an interesting song. Road to Moscow is very, very largely based on Alexander Solzhenitsyn's book, and of course on his own life, although there is a little Ilya Chukotskaya in there as well, and a little Alexander Wirth. And I don't know, I read lots of history books, so I was throwing in history, I guess, into some of the songs. There are other literary influences. Sirens of Titan obviously comes from the Kurt Vonnegut book, and Man for All Seasons is from the film, which starred Paul Scofield, in which he was brilliant. And Year of the Cat is partly based on the Casablanca movie. There are, in fact, different songs that I've written that come from movies. So I think that my prime interests really were literature, history, and movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided that I could put all of these into the music that I was doing, rather than writing Woke Up This Morning in My Holiday Inn and felt like drinking a pint of gin or whatever it is.
Really?
You know, the average boogie band lyric. I felt that there was room for...
So you'd say you have more of a diversified background coming out of England?
Yeah, I've got two kind of backgrounds, really. One, immediately after leaving school, I just joined a top 40 band and toured for about 2 years around the south coast of England, playing R&B and Beatles songs and what have you. And then I got involved in the folk scene in England for about 5 or 6 years. So what I'm doing now really reflects both of those interests. I had the lyrical interest from the folk scene.
Right.
And I had the... musical band influence from, you know, always being interested in popular music.
So you were pretty well established over in England a long time before here in America.
Well, I don't think so. The English folk scene was a kind of a cult.
Right.
A subculture. And to say that I was established means that I was established on the folk scene. But
there's
a lot of people who were and still are established on the folk scene in America, but that doesn't mean that the general
they were established, right.
And I don't think in England that it was any different. I don't think that the average English person has ever heard of Bert Jones. That's how it is.
Well, the first album that really did anything here in America was Past, Present, and Future. How's that done overall?
Overall, here it's been staggering along. And in England, when it first came out, it was, funnily enough, it's funny that you should mention it, but we just found the tape. But when Janus went bankrupt, they lost the master tape, Past, Present, and Future.
Lovely.
So it's been out of stock for something like a year, and we had to run around the world, and we finally found some tapes of it in Japan, of all places, and we have we've just managed to put it back together again, and it will be released on Arista along with Modern Times, which
Great.
Is available probably the beginning of next year, or maybe even the end of this year, as soon as we can get it out, in fact.
So you've been living here in America for several years now. Did that have anything to do with the tax problems that you hear about in England?
Well, I didn't have any tax problems, because when I came over here, I was in debt for about £100,000. What happened was that we came over to tour with Year of the Cat, and the tour never stopped.
Mm-hmm.
It went on for about 7 months. By that time, I mean, I'd just become entrenched here. So, I haven't been afflicted with tax problems, because I haven't really made enough money to be afflicted with tax problems. In England, I was, it just cost so much money to make that record that we were well and truly in debt to everyone. So we had the good fortune of having no tax problems.
Yeah, have you ever had any desire to put out a live album? Because
you keep second-guessing me all the way through this. Now, we are talking about doing a live album for the one after this one.
Because the band...
I'm actually encouraged by the fact that, I mean, it's taken me all this time to find a regular band and to get a good one, and now I believe that I have the real ideal lineup. So we're going to do a live album. But we put out 9 studio albums. I think it probably is time for a live album. Peter White's been on the last 3 of my records. Robin Lambert's been on the last 2. And the drummer and the piano player were on the tour with me 2 years ago. Then they ran off to join Jay Ferguson, and now they've come back again.
Mm-hmm.
And Krisha, the girl singer, was in fact on Past, Present, Future, so she goes back 7 years.
Wow.
It is she who is trilling the high notes at the end of Nostradamus.
On the new album, what's the purpose of the liner notes?
Well, I think it, I thought it was time to inject a little personality. I mean, you can, you know, you write, what do you put on a record cover? I mean, what we've done for the last four is that we've allowed Hypnosis, who you probably know, is the London firm that do the whole world.
The artworks, yeah.
From Pink Floyd to Wings to whatever. And we have allowed them to go out and create covers for albums.
Right.
We've done everything from The American Past, Present, Future up to Time Passages. And then, of course, what else? What do you put on? You print the lyrics and you print the titles of the songs. And there's not a lot of personality being expressed by me in that method. So what I thought I would do was to design my own cover, which is a piece of total foolishness, which I like, and to, you know, write something myself on the inside of the album.
Mm-hmm.
And the liner notes, that's just the style in which I write, if left alone with a pen.
Although they certainly do have a lot to do with the songs included in the album, kind of bind them together.
Yes, they're supposed to. I mean, the song, if you just heard Constantinople, you might think that Muhammad was the prophet, rather than being the Sultan Muhammad II.
Mm-hmm.
And you might get confused amongst the Merlin, and the seed notes tried to, you know, make this clear.
The album theme seems to be about going places.
I think that probably, yeah, there might be some subconscious thing. I think that Year of the Cat and Time Passages were wandering around in a similar kind of territory.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to do something a little different with this one. And in fact, this album goes both backwards and forwards. It's quite a peculiar thing that it's done. It's a rather a schizophrenic album. So when I said I combined the two elements of what I grew up around in music, they're both on this. And I mean, Modest Nystra may have nothing to do with Merlin's time, to the casual viewer, but they're both sort of rooted somewhere back in the past for me.
Mm-hmm.
So they do fit in my mind.
Now, you just completed a quick 5-day tour.
To warm the band up so that it is ready. We have to sit and see what the record does. The economics these days are crazy of going on the road. And we would need to have a fair-sized hit in order to make it viable to go out and do more dates. But what happens is that things change so quickly that the answer is to get the band into shape, get it rehearsed and ready, so that at the drop of a $1,000 bill, we could
really
be off and running around the world. At least if I do these dates, we are prepared. I mean, the songs really are self-explanatory. They tell their own story. They don't need to be deluged under laser beams to make their point. So that we don't have that complicated of a show, but any kind of a thing, once you get into normal sound and lights, is pretty technically crazy these days.
Now, the Time Passages album seemed to be just that. It seemed to be like you were just waiting for something to happen.
Yeah, I think you're right. Time Passages was, to me, a little disappointing in the sense that it seemed to be a kind of sleepy album. It was supposed to be atmospheric, but after a while it just began to put me to sleep.
Now, did you feel any pressure to release the follow-up to Year of the Cat?
Not really, because what you're talking about are kind of like levels of success. Having made 9 albums, I was well aware of the fact that being a normal kind of record maker, I mean, and not being a sort of an enormous genius, that what I've been tending to do is make a good record, and then make a bad record, and then make an indifferent record, and then make a good record again. It's been sort of going, from my own critical standpoint, that's how it has always seemed to have gone.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, after I made Year of the Cat and everyone liked it, I kind of assumed that the next one wouldn't be so good. It's just on the law of averages, so I didn't worry too much about it.
Mm-hmm.
And after I'd made Time Passages, which I didn't think was as good, I kind of assumed that the next one would be better, which I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
We're back in shape again.
Well, 24 Carats is a very confident-sounding album, if you want to look at it that way.
Yeah, it is, because I felt good about it all the way through. I mean, I think it's, in some ways, it's the best album that I've made since Past, Present, and Future. Time. Yeah, this is what I would believe. Time will tell. But I feel good about it. I've heard 24 Carats about 150 times, and some of them still seem fine to me. Whereas, even before the mixing stage on the last album, there were some I couldn't stand to listen to anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good sign.
So, what would your favorite songs be on the album?
I think right now probably Merlin's Time. because it's so concise, so neat, and it all fits together so well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also very much like optical illusions. And I very much like Mondo Sinistro because it's so silly, and it's such a fun song.
Yeah, right now Mondo Sinistro is probably my favorite on the album.
Yeah, I mean, any line like, she picks the menu up, throws it my way with a flick of her wrist, though. The night will take a romantic twist, though. Can't be altogether bad, I would say. See, writing, I mean, it's a funny thing about writing. Writing should always be concise, and it should always convey the image in the simplest and most effective form. I mean, that's been true since Shakespeare. And
the only way you can get to that point is by writing.
Very often, you write yourself into a hole in the wall by trying to strive too hard.
Mm-hmm.
But when a thing just comes totally naturally and falls into place, be it apparently silly like Mondo Sinistro, it's actually a much better written song than a great lumbering thing like Man for All Seasons, where I was trying very hard to be serious, and
mm-hmm.
I don't really think I pulled it off. So, you know, that's just... I mean, I'm now totally resigned to the fact that every time I make an album, I take a handful of darts and
mm-hmm.
throw them, and some hit the target and some hit the wall.
But you're having a lot... It seems like you're having a lot more fun, too, these days.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to go on the stage and play a song like Paint by Numbers, which just boogies away,
mm-hmm.
and then fold straight into something like Dark and the Rolling Sea, which is, you know, romantic sea ballad.
Really?
To be able to encompass all of that within a single stage show by a single artist is for me pretty remarkable, because bands have become so specialized. And if you go out and you see Black Sabbath, you,
mm-hmm.
you're just going to get beaten over the head for an hour and a half, and that's how it is. Whereas if you go and see you know, like a Paul Simon or something, everything's going to be very mellow and very jazzy and
mm-hmm.
very laid back. And I need a little of both of those things. I mean, I need a lot, and what we encompass in our stage show now ranges from just about every end of the musical spectrum, which I like.
Are you doing an acoustic set by any chance?
I'm going to play Merlin's Tongue because I like it. And I have just last night been running through Nostradamus. I'm very tempted to play that on this tour because I've done 5 consecutive tours on which I played Roads to Moscow.
Mm-hmm.
I've driven myself crazy with it, so I think I'll do Nostradamus this time out. I'm having great difficulty remembering the words at the moment.
Are you still doing the Pink Panther theme?
Well, that was just it was a one-tour thing, really. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I'd love to do it, because it's a lot of fun.
And especially now with Peter Sellers having left.
Yeah, maybe, that's right. It would be a very topical thing. I don't know. I hate to kind of repeat myself too much on tour.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things that we did on the last tour, like introducing Year of the Cat with the Casablanca theme as time goes by.
That you won't do this time?
The Pink Panther theme and the slides in Roads to Moscow, and it was all becoming...
repetitious?
It was becoming repetitious,
yeah.
So we've tried to kick all that stuff out this time out,
mm-hmm.
something different. Fortunately, of course, I've got lots of new songs to play, so
right.
That helps.